This is Victory House.
Romans chapter 5 and from verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And verse 5 says, and hope does not put to shame. Another translation says, and hope does not disappoint. Hope is guaranteed. Hope is sure banker. Hope is like a cashier's check. The hope we're talking about here, not just the normal hopes that people have, is you can take it to the bank because it's from God. Because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy, or through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. If I ask a question this morning, that what is the end of everything we are doing in life? I'm sure I'll get a lot of answers. What is the end? Because sometimes I want to ask myself, why? Why? Because you need to know the why or where you are trying to go to with whatever you're doing. Some people don't know the why of work. Some people don't know the why of church. Why are you working? Why are you? Some people just think they are working for working's sake. Oh, they are working so that they can show their neighbor that they have arrived. So that they can buy the latest car, buy the latest clothes. But that's not really the why of life. Because if you look at life, why did God even create human beings? Why? Why did God create us? Because before human beings, if you read this story of the Bible from Genesis chapter 1, you will discover later, especially in verse chapter 3, that there were some other created beings, or there was some kind of creation that God didn't really read about in Genesis chapter 3, because the Bible said the serpent was more subtle than all animals, and eventually that serpent proved to be the devil. That means that even before man showed up, God already had a creation. So why did God create man? Why did God create us? Did you think God just created us so that we can come and spend 70, 90, 120 years here and then later we'll now die and then go and meet him? Why did God create us? Do you know the reason why God created man? The reason for creation is because there was one attribute of love. There was one part of God that God could not express except through creating a man that is limited, through creating a man that can fall. And that attribute of God is love. So the end of all actions, everything we are doing is a means to the end of all things, which is love. So work is a means. Parenting is a means. Coming to church is a means. If that, and many people have missed that. Many people think that church itself is the end. Many people think that getting married is the end. Especially when people are not married. They think that, oh, when I get married, especially all these Valentine's Day, I just want to be married. I just want to be married. It's amazing how what you don't have is what you want. Amen to Jesus. Ask the married people. Some of them just want to be unmarried. I mean, not that they want to divorce their wife, but just take a break. I don't know about you. Sometimes I want to take a break from being a father. Amen to Jesus. The kids are not here, so I can't say that. You go, daddy, I'm just like, shut up! So it's like what we don't have is what we want. Some people, when they find themselves in a church like this, they want another kind of church. When they now get to that church, they will now be looking back at the one they just left. There are people that are in this church now, they are looking back at the church that they left. They are feeling like, that's not... And then when they come here, they don't sing like the way they sing in our church. They don't dance like the way they dance in our church. They don't wear clothes the way they wear clothes in our church. But you left there because of something. So man is a very, sometimes, I wouldn't use the word confused, but we are very interesting people. You understand? So we tend to want what we don't have. And what we have, we don't value it. We don't do something about it. So people are always thinking of another thing, of another thing. But can I tell you, the end of all things is love. Everything is a means. I go to school is a means. I have a degree is a means. I have a car is a means. They are not ends in themselves. The end of all things is love. That's why the Bible said in that scripture that we just read that hope does not disappoint. And the reason hope does not disappoint is that the end of hope itself is love. It's love that is powering the hope. Because in that scriptures, God was saying that suffering will come. And then he now talks about hope. Then he now talks about love. I think the suffering comes from the relationships, the human relationships. The suffering, the crying comes from there. Amen to Jesus. Amen to Jesus. It's amazing. The thing that brings us the greatest joy in life is human relationship. The thing that brings us the greatest trouble also in life is what? Human relationship. I'm a computer guy. Computers are so easy to work with. Garbage in, garbage out. With human beings, not like that. If you put garbage in, it may not be garbage out. It may be garbage plus trash plus rubbish. Because human beings are complicated. You know, machines. So if you tell your car, start your car, you see the dashboard. The dashboard says the tire is low, your engine is low. If you go and change it, for the most part, everything will be fixed. A human being is not like that. A human being may be sad today and say, what's wrong with you? He says, I've not eaten. You give him food. Then he smiles for a little bit. And then he's sad again. You say, what's wrong with you? He says, I'm too full. Human beings are complicated. So that's why the Bible said there is suffering that happens in this world. And most of that suffering, a lot of it has to do with human relationship. But he says, you see, what this suffering, what this human contention, human relationship has to do with us is that it now begins to do something in us. It works perseverance. Can somebody say amen to that? If you want to have patience, have relationships, amen to Jesus. Be a brother to somebody. Be a sister. Be married. And then have children. Can you say amen to Jesus? Your patience will just go to a new level. Because sometimes, even the man of God, you will just be angry. That sometimes I've like shouted at my children. What did they just do now? All they've just done is just be a child. They have just been children. So I'm angry. I'm like, look at what they're doing. You're talking to a five-year-old boy. By when you were five, were you not like this? Because sometimes I'm like, why are these food? Sometimes I will be upstairs and I'll be yelling, bruh, downstairs. You go downstairs, somebody is crying, he broke my leg, he broke my back. And I'll say, listen to me. And I'll give instruction. And exactly what I told them not to do is what they will do in 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God. That is what the Bible said there. This suffering will produce patience. And that patience will produce character. Can somebody say amen to Jesus? Amen. The reason why our world is where it is today is that there are not too many people that have allowed suffering to produce patience, to produce character. We need people of character. We need people who will have allowed the suffering of human relationships to produce patience. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. So in verse 5, which is our core scripture, the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. The first thing I need to make you understand this morning, or if there was any major thing I wanted you to take with you, is that you have the capacity to love. Can somebody say amen? Amen. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, what Jesus did to you was what we do to our phones. Jesus installed an application on your phone. That application is love. The application is already installed. It's pre-installed. Once you go to Jesus, Jesus put it there. I don't know about some of you. When you buy some of these phones, Android phone, iOS, Apple phones, there are some things that come with it. There are some apps that are pre-installed. There is one app that is pre-installed in everybody that has given his life to Jesus. That app is called love. Can somebody shout love?
Love.
So I have capacity to love. The other day I was talking to my wife, and then we're talking about something, and she was like, and then you'll be nice to that person. I was like, no, they'll just be on their own. Me too, I'll be on my own. I don't have any problem with them, but you know, just be on your own. You know that silent treatment. You be on your own, me, I be on my own. I'm not fighting you, but let there be no trouble, you know. And my wife was like, no, never say never. And I started thinking of that word, that is true. Because one day, I will still be close to that person. I will still relate with that person. Maybe I will be a little more careful, but I should understand that I still have the capacity to love that person. If you are listening to me this morning, you have the capacity to love. Say to your neighbor, say, you have the capacity to love. So if your wife offends you, I remember when I was a little young man, there was a book my grandfather, the one that some of you know, the popular grandfather. If you don't know him, that's okay. Or you've not heard about it, that's fine. Don't be under pressure. Then my grandfather gave that book to my uncle. So my uncle gave me the book. The book is On Becoming a Man. I don't know if you've seen the book before. It's just a book good for guys who are becoming a man. And so I read that book. And in that book, there was a guy. The guy was in a relationship. And somebody broke his heart. You know, it's typical. Especially in seasons like Valentine, like this, when people are trying to escape the giving and gift thing, you know, they just say, I think this thing is not working because they don't want to give a gift. So the girl broke the guy's heart, and the guy was so sad. And the guy was talking to a counselor, and the guy told the counselor, I will never love again. No, I will never allow this to happen to myself again. And the counselor laughed and said, it's okay. You will love again. This will happen. He didn't say this will happen to you, but he said you will go through some of this kind of process again. No. So maybe like 2 months later, one day the counselor saw him walking down the in the school, and the counselor saw him walking with a lady, and the counselor just beckoned to him and called his name and just did like this, and two of them understood what he was saying. That I thought you said never, never. So there is nothing like never. I can love. Can somebody say I can love? You can say it louder. Say, I can love because I have love installed on the inside of me. So this morning I'm talking about the tenses of love. The tenses of love, which means in the grammatical sense, where you have the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense. So what are the tenses? The first tense of love is that love has happened. Love has already happened. If you give your life to Christ, it's already there. It's pre-installed. You have it. You have it. It may not be finding expression now, but you need to settle that in you that you have it. There are many times that people tell themselves the things that are not true. And one of that is that I can't love that person again. You don't know what they've done to me. If only you knew what they did, I cannot. No, you can. Because the Bible said the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. You can. You have the capacity. Now, capacity sometimes does not equal manifestation. For example, a boy has the capacity to be a man. A boy is a man. That's why we don't count half human beings. Amen to Jesus. Amen. When we do population, when we do census, we count everybody, including babies, because babies are people. There is no half human being. Although that baby, that boy is a man, as a boy, is not. There are many things a man can do that he's not able to do. But that does not make him less than a man. He's just a man in his formative stage. So the love of God may be in a formative stage. It may need to be developed and worked upon inside of you and allowed to find expression. But it is there. Can somebody say it is there? So if the love of God is there, if the first tense of love is that it has happened, the next tense of love now means that it should be happening. Look at your neighbor saying it should be happening. Because if it has been installed, then it should be happening. I should be using it. That is the place that many people have a problem. They are not using it. They are not letting it come out. They are not allowing it to come out. They tell themselves that it's not possible. Oh, how can I call him after what he has done? How can I be kind to him after what he has done? How can I? No. Let him be and I will be. I have forgiven him, but forgetting. No. So they convince themselves. But you can allow it. It is possible to release it. Look at these scriptures. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, for in Christ Jesus, Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Or it is love that you believe that you have, and because of belief, you act like you have it. That's how love works. That's how you can come to the present side of love. When you believe that you already have it inside of you, you can now by faith act it out. Faith is, I believe that this thing is there, and because I believe, I act, even though it doesn't look like it. So that means that if I say that love is already inside me and my husband offends me, by faith, I can tell him I love you. Can somebody say amen to that? You know, one of the times people can't say I love you most is when they have had a quarrel with their wife or spouse. They're like, well, I think I love him, but right now, let's just leave that love part. But you can buy faith. You can buy faith. You can buy faith. Say, I love you. You can buy faith. Love your boss. Can somebody say amen to that? Oh, yes. Oh, some people say, I thought love was meant for people that are close to you. Your boss too is close to you. By faith, you can love that boss. I know he's a difficult human being. I know he's a terrible human being. But there is a universal language in this world. That language is love. And so if by faith you allow God to make this love flow through you, you will be present in love. You will not just know that there's a tense called God has put it inside, it has happened. You will now be doing something with the love that is already on the inside. It is happening. Can somebody say an amen to that? In Romans 13, from verse 9 to 10. I'll read from the New Living Translation. Romans 13, 9 to 10. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. That means that the commandment, even in the New Testament, is valid. The word of God, because some people are these dispensationalists. They think that some things have happened in the Old Testament. It doesn't concern the New Testament. Sometimes people don't just get it. There are things that God has said and God will not change his mind. This, you must not do this, you must not do that. Everything is still valid. But the Bible now says there is a way you can make all these things happen if you make one particular thing happen. He says these and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love is the fulfillment or the requirement of the law. If you love, you have fulfilled the law. If you love your boss, if you love your child, if you love your spouse, you have fulfilled the law. If you love. Now, this morning, I'll just give you three pointers how you can practically show the love. Because the love is already inside, but by faith, because there is something about faith, faith shows itself by what it does. Amen to Jesus. So, by faith, you can begin to do the following things. Number one, you can understand that every relationship tries not because of presence, but because of persons. Not because of presence, because of persons. So that's going to be very useful this week. So Valentine, buying gifts, praise God for that. But relationship, the best things you can give in a relationship are not gifts, are not things. It is your person. That is why a father can be Father Christmas to the children and the children will still not feel loved. There are many parents that think that giving a child things is better than giving that child themselves. So they don't give them time. They don't give them their selves. So you delegate everything to a nanny. You delegate everything to the mother. If you're a father here, hear this. There is nothing a father cannot do in the house. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Even if you're as anointed as, I'm looking for, Daddy Gio. You can still do everything. I mean, I know that the Jew a little bit all close. When we were growing up, they will finish the Holy Ghost service and he will leave the Holy Ghost service and go for, they call it visiting day in a boarding school. I mean, Redeemers, God has been blessing Redeem for a long time now. So there are a lot of people. Since I've been the baby, there have been a lot of people in the house. So If he wanted like 10 people to go and visit his child, 10 people will go. But he will finish an all night and he will still physically attend to the visiting day. Why didn't he send somebody? Because you see, what you as a father can do, nobody can do it. You can't delegate fatherhood. You can't delegate it even to your wife. Can somebody say amen to Jesus? He says, that's my wife's business. It's her business to wash clothes. Well, you put them in the washing machine. Even as a guy, you should be doing that. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You should be washing plates. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Pastor E, do you do that? Of course. I like to wash plates. Some people have come to my house. They've seen me wash plates. I wash clothes. I fold clothes. I still had their bath this morning. I don't know. Maybe it was planned so that I'll be able to say I had their bath. Because I don't have their bath all the money. But I just want you to understand this. There is nothing a man should not do. Can somebody say amen to that? Including cooking. Can somebody say amen to that? I know that part. My wife will take me up on that. Because I've been believing God for that cooking part. But I will still put some things in the microwave. That's part of it. Put the pancake. And then fry eggs. Amen to Jesus. The other day when I fried egg, my kids were like, I didn't know you knew how to fry egg. I looked at him like this. I looked at him like this. What is there in frying egg? Oil, poison. So the best thing you can give any relationship is you. If you have a friend, it's not about sending them a text message alone. They need you. They need you. Be there. Any relationship. Your church needs you. Amen to Jesus. Amen. Your church needs you. It's you we want. It's only your money. You give money from online. Thank God for that. Come in person. Amen to Jesus. We want the person. That's one of the best things you can give. Give yourself first. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. The Bible talked about this amazing Christian. He said the first thing they gave is themselves. So everywhere you find yourself, give yourself. Give yourself. That's the best thing you can give. You can give other things after that. But if you don't give yourself, every other thing you give in place of yourself will not do. Will not do. Will not do. It's yourself. It's yourself. Another thing you can remember as you go home this morning is that every relationship will thrive when we honor people. Every relationship, when we honor people. When we put worth, when we put value on people, that is the best thing we can do for those people. The most valuable thing on the surface of the earth are not the material things, they are the human beings. People are more important than things. Use things, don't use people. Yes, you need help of people, but don't use people. Don't take advantage of people. Don't take advantage of people in your life. People are taking advantage of their wives. People are taking advantage of their husband. People are taking advantage of their children. You are cheating them. Yeah, and you know it. You know it. Don't use things. Don't use people. Use things. There are people that are taking advantage of church. And there are churches that are taking advantage of people. There are pastors that are taking advantage of people. There are people that are taking advantage of pastors. You are using them. It's like you are using a paper towel or, you know, some disposable stuff. And once you get to what you want, you throw them away. Remember I said that the end of all things is love. Every other thing is a means. So understand that the end of your relationship with your husband is love. So don't use him. Understand that you can use things, but don't use that person. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Every relationship will thrive when we honor people. Are you there? Romans 10, 12, 10. The Bible says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Honor. Honor is the value you place on people. When you see somebody, honor them. If you honor me, you will not be saying things behind me. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Sometimes I've been trying to wrap my mind around it. Is this the African mind that likes to talk about people behind them? Somebody had said something once. He said, some types of people, I won't use the exact way they said it, they talk about things. He said some other types of people, they talk about people. He said the best type of people, they talk about ideas. Don't, if you see your brother that is not doing what is right, pray for him. There are so many people here, you rather talk about your brother than pray for your brother. Can somebody say amen to that? If there is anything that is wrong with somebody, talking behind them doesn't fix it. Does he fix it? Because some people say, come and see your family member. He's going. See Pastor E. He's going to go and explain on this. Just be watching him. You know? And I don't know the English word for it, but you know this thing that people do like with their nose. If you know the meaning, you do. But honor people. Look at your neighbor. Say honor people. So every relationship thrives when we honor people. Honor your children. Honor them. There are many parents that don't know that those children, the honor you place on them now, they will know in future. The reason some people are bad wives is because their father didn't honor them. The reason some people are bad husbands is because there was no honor in their house. If you honor people, that's why some people will lay their hands on their wife. They beat there are men that, whether I don't think they're in this room this morning, that beat their wife. That's not honor. Can somebody say amen to that? He said, she made me angry. If your boss make you angry, will you slap him? If you slap me, you know what has happened now. You have slapped your job. So your boss made you, or the cop, don't they make you angry? The other day, I was standing before a judge just recently. And sometimes I stood there. The lady saw me sitting down, and she knew I needed to go to somewhere and sort out my document before they do the hearing. No, I wasn't in any big trouble, so don't be under pressure. You know, it was just a traffic offense and all that. So I she didn't see anything. And then later somebody came to get my document. In my mind, I'm like, and you saw me sitting down here. You cannot say anything. But can I now say that she didn't honor me? I'll go and slap her. I won't leave that courtroom. They will just tell you that Pastor E wants to preach from one, but you know it cannot happen. Amen to Jesus. So honor people. Honor people. Put value on people. Another thing you need to understand, and I close with this morning, is that giving is an expression of your heart disposition. Giving is an expression of your heart disposition. All these things that I've been saying this morning is just to make you be a present person when it comes to love. Being active with love. Understand that giving is an expression of your heart disposition. Now, when I say giving, I'm not even necessarily talking about you give me money, you don't give me money. No. But that disposition that I want to be a blessing to you. I want to add to you. I want to contribute to you. I want to be part of your success. I want to do something that will make life better for you. It is an expression of your heart disposition. So if your heart, you allow the love of God to find expression through your heart, the natural response is that you will give. You will give prayer. You will give encouragement. You will give support. Sometimes you will even give gifts. And I hope husband and wife, you will give gifts this week in the name of Jesus. So don't be a receiver. Some people, they will tell me they love me, they love that person, but they are always expecting to receive. You're always taking. Every time you come to me, you are telling me your problem. Have you asked me how am I doing? There are some people, they are angry with Pastor E. Hey, he didn't call me. Have you called me? Have you called me? You don't think I'm a human being too? I have blood. I have children. I pay bills. I also work like you. Sometimes I work more than some of you. So we all have issues. Now should I call you? Yes, I should call you. Yes, I should call you. Don't be under pressure on that one. But also you to call me. Your wife. Have you given to her? Oh, she doesn't love me. She's not cooking for me. She's not. I have discovered this. If you focus on what the other person should do, you will not receive what you should receive. If you focus on yourself, many times you will receive more than you have planned for. Many of the time we are putting the focus on the wrong place. Can I tell you the truth? Nobody can really change anybody. Have you noticed that? I'm a pastor and I've figured that out now, that it's only God that can change people when they are ready with God. Amen? If you like, preach, and you can even look at their eyes and say, you, some people are playing with the iPad, they are playing with phone. Right in front of you, you still see them on Facebook. We have said it many times here, and I've still seen some people. I'll just smile, I'll just shake my head like this. God, just help your people. So understand this. Look at your, just look at yourself. Focus on yourself. Be the one giving. And the more you focus on yourself, sometimes your giving will provoke a response. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, and I close with this. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave. God was not waiting for the love to receive, or for the world to receive, or the world to be ready. But God gave his only begotten son. It was a gamble. But did God lose? Did God lose? That's why you are here this morning. Because God gave first. I'm challenging you this week. Go into your world and give. Give to your children. Give to your wife. Give to your spouse. Give to your pastor. Give to your parents. Give to everybody around you. Let the love of God find expression. Will you bow your heads this morning and talk to God? Love has happened and love should be happening. If God has already deposited the love in your heart, that love can find expression. It's a choice. It's a decision. And so this morning, I want you to tell God to say, Lord, this week, this love will find expression.